And I want to move on to the way that we actually keep unity, because unity is really important in any aspect of life, but in terms of church and our relationship with God and one another, unity is critical to displaying the glory of God where we are, to displaying that actually He's living in me. When we're in unity with God, we display that unity by the way that we live, and that's really important. So I just want to underline some things that I said last week, and part of the mission of Jesus was to bring to unity all things in heaven and earth. It tells us that in Ephesians. So part of what Jesus came to do was create unity. So our first unity is always with Him. That's the first step. We come to Him in unity, and when we are in unity with Him, then He draws us to unity with one another. But Jesus wants the world to be in unity. He came to save the world, not just you and not just me. He came to save the world. And so He's trying to draw together unity in the world. And what do we see in our world today? We see exactly the opposite of what God intended to do. We see disunity everywhere we look. And so there's a bit of a reaction to unity, a spiritual reaction. And we've got to recognize that unity actually is God's way. It's what He wants us to be. It also, in John 17, it says this: I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. So He wants that kind of relationship with us that He has with His Father. So Jesus was praying for His disciples and going, you know, we've got this relationship, and just as we are one, that's how I want everyone to be as one as we are one. So He's looking for that unity of relationship, that they may become one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me, and you will love them even as you love me. So unity is a sign to the world that Jesus is alive and living in us. It's a sign that there is something different about the Church of Jesus Christ, because we display unity, and that kind of emanates His glory and proves and shows the world that Jesus is indeed alive. When we live in unity, and this is a scripture that we really enjoy because we want the blessing of God. When we live in unity, it says God commands the blessing. He does something in our unity that is a blessing to you and to me. It's a shared blessing, but also it blesses our community. It blesses everybody who we come into contact with on a daily basis, because the unity that I have with God just kind of pours out of us and touches those around us. It's an awesome thing to be in unity. And if you want blessing in your life, then be in unity with God and one another, and then God will command the blessing. Unity can be fragile. Have you noticed that? We can be in unity with somebody one minute, and the next minute they think, what are they doing? I don't want them to do that. What are they doing? And so unity can very easily be broken. And so what we're going to do this morning is explore something of how we maintain unity together. It's a very powerful force. And I was thinking about how can we use an example of something that has just created mayhem when there should be unity. And straight away you think Brexit. Don't know what the answer is. I know that God does, and if we put God in, something will happen supernaturally. But here we see something that has almost divided our nation. It's divided our politicians. It's separated us from Europe in not a great way, because there is no unity of purpose. And when we don't have unity of purpose, when we don't have unity together in relationship, it just causes massive chaos. And that's how our country is at the moment. Nobody wants to give in. They all want their own way. It's my way or no way. And as we shall see as we just go through what I've got to say this morning, that is exactly the opposite of the attitude that Christ had. If you want just what you want, then you're never going to be in unity with people, and you're going to cause disunity, and you're going to really live a life that is always tense, that is always under pressure, because you're not learning how to be in unity. And that's why in Ephesians chapter 4 it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort. We've really got to try hard to maintain our unity, first of all with God. Because the moment that comes under pressure, the moment we begin to lose our unity with God, we begin to lose our unity with each other. It just follows that that's what happens. And so for our first call is always to be in unity with God. But we've got to make every effort with one another as well. Because we're not all like me, and we're not all like you. We all think a little bit differently. We all behave differently. We all have different views on what's right and wrong. But somehow in all of that, we have got to work out our unity. We've got to make every effort. And that can be a bit of a challenge at times. Can't it? Oh, one or two honest people here. Good. It can. You try living with somebody for an hour or 2 hours or a day or 2 days, and you'll find out how in unity you are with them. But you've got to work hard at that, haven't you? You've got to make every effort. On Tuesday, we were kind of mulling over this topic of unity, what it means. And to kind of illustrate unity, I was trying to think of something that would be a visual aid for us. And so I've just got a 1 minute video that I want you to watch. And I'll talk about it when you've seen it. Thank you. That was the Icelandic football chant, if you've never seen that before. And that's 10,000 people welcoming me back, the football team, from a competition that they were in. And there we have 10,000 people in unity. Wow, wasn't that powerful? And they were only singing about football. Okay, but if you watch some of the other, there's loads of that on YouTube. But if you actually watch it at a football match, the opposition fans are jeering and shouting, but that quietens them down. That almost stops them in their tracks. And as we were worshipping this morning and talking about, you know, how great God is and how no matter how dark it is, my song is going to be louder. No matter how hard this life seems, that I'm going to sing louder when I'm under pressure. That's the effect it has in spiritual realms, because it's displaying our faith in God, and it is powerful. And so when we are worshipping together, we are impacting more than just ourselves, but we're impacting the spirit realm around here. We are declaring the greatness and the power of God to overcome all things. It's powerful. Those 10,000 people were only in unity over one thing. There'd have been hundreds of differences of opinion about loads of aspects of life, but what did they do? They made every effort in that moment to be in unity, because we're going to do this together. And sometimes we've got to have that attitude in us that I don't really care what somebody thinks, because not everybody's going to think like you do, and not everybody's going to think like I do. Therefore, we've got to put some things aside, and we've got to be in unity when we worship God. So important, because if you want your way, you're never going to be in unity with anybody. So I thought that was a great sort of visual aid for our unity and how it looks and how it feels when you're together, putting your faith in God and displaying that to our community. The Bible is a great book. You know, it is a great book. It reveals the heart of God to us. It reveals his purposes for our lives. It kind of describes a journey that we are going to be on, where we start with salvation and he's working stuff in us all the time. He's bringing us to completion day by day by day. And that is a constant story throughout the Bible. It underlines everything that is in there. There will always be a challenge to you when you are in unity with God, because he will be working on your character, on your personality. He will be doing stuff in you day by day. And part of that I want to focus about is the unity aspect, is the living together aspect of our faith. So one of our vision statements to ourselves is that we want to demonstrate God. That's a great thing to do, isn't it, to demonstrate God. But how are we going to do that? Not in preaching, not in witnessing, but in conversations, actions and reactions. The way we behave really demonstrates where we're putting our faith. I met with some of you will remember Jim, the minister that was here before me, and he reminded me again that one of his Jimisms, as he calls it, is that if what you believe doesn't change the way you behave, then you don't believe it. That's it. If you believe in God and it doesn't change the way that you live, you don't believe it. That's a really hard thing for us to take on board sometimes. But in demonstrating who God is together maintains unity. If we really believe in God and it really changes the way that we behave, then we will really work hard at being in unity. And it will demonstrate the glory of God to our community. So in Romans chapter 12, this is quite a long reading, but I will read through it. And then there's another few verses in chapter 13 that I want to just follow on with. In my Bible, I don't know what it says in your Bible, in my Bible it says this is behaving like a Christian. Okay. So one of the things that I always say is that I won't tell you what to do, but God will. Okay. I don't tell anybody how to behave. I encourage you in your journey of faith. If you ask me, I'll give you my opinion, but I don't go around telling people what to do. That's why God sent the Holy Spirit. He tells you what to do. He challenges you. He speaks truth into your heart. He directs your paths, not me. So what I'm reading isn't something that I've written. This is in Romans chapter 12. And this is behaving like a Christian, or love in action. So do you want to put it up for me, Cain? Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted one to another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I don't really think I have to say a lot on that. It's fairly straightforward, isn't it? The kingdom of God is different than the kingdom of this earth. And we say, what does that mean? Well, when we live in the kingdom of God, that is our behavior. That's how we are. Those are the principles that we put into practice. Romans 13, 8 to 10. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And whatever other command there may be are summed up in this. Love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbour. Therefore, love is the fulfilment of the law. And if we love God with all our heart, we will do all those things. Because his love is poured, it says in Romans chapter 5, he pours his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, if his love is in us, and it's alive in us, we will learn to love others, no matter who they are or what they've done. It's a huge challenge to our character, our personalities, our own preferences, when we're told to love our enemies, to love our neighbours. It's a huge thing to do. But that's how we behave if we're a Christian. And the unity that God draws us together in is based on love. It's not based on ability. It's not based on attitudes. It's based on loving one another. Sometimes our behaviour can be challenging. Have you noticed that? I can be a bit challenging at times. And those of you that have known me for 40 years will know that I can be a challenge. I can be a bit painful at times. I can be a bit difficult. I can think differently. Express myself in a way sometimes that isn't great. And so we've got to learn to live with that, because we don't go from... It's like a baby, really, isn't it? As it's born, it learns. And so when we are born again, we are not the finished product. That's just our start. We've got a lot of learning to do in our spiritual journey. And so we're going to get it wrong. And we're going to fall out. And we're going to misunderstand. And we're going to be tempted to have all kinds of thoughts about other people that aren't very positive. So Romans 15 tells us this. We who are strong ought to bear the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. That's how we keep unity. It's not about me. If somebody's struggling a little bit, then guess what we do? We help them. Each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Jesus Christ had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. You see the message there about having the mind of Christ, who loved us even when we were unlovely, who loved us when we were wretched and full of sin in our lives, but God loved us first. And through his love for us, he bought us, he redeemed our lives so that we could be in this relationship with him. That's the attitude that he wants from each of us. That we love one another. This attitude that Christ had should be in us, that we put others first. When he was in the garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed three times, can this cup pass from me? Is there any way around this, Father? Because I don't really want to go through this death. He understood the pain and the anguish that it would cause. But he said, not my will, but yours be done. And sometimes we have to go through pain and anguish for others, because it's not my will, but it's your will. And God's will is that we have the same attitude that Christ had. Very powerful stuff, isn't it? John 13 says this, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must you love one another. By this, everyone know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So how do we display that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ? By loving one another. And I think that's an amazing thing about the Church of Jesus Christ, that anybody should be able to come in here and be loved, no matter what they've done, no matter what, that they can come in here and that they can be loved. And they will see the love that we have for each other, and that demonstrates to them that actually we are the disciples of Jesus Christ. So this is why we have to really work hard at maintaining unity, maintaining our love for God and our love for each other, because it displays that God is alive and living in us. If we say that we believe in God, then there must be a tangible evidence of that. There's got to be. I'm into reality. And one of the things when I was growing up in church was I used to read the Bible, and I would look at the church and go, the two don't marry up. It says that in the Bible, but I don't see it in the church. So part of my heart for church is actually what we read in the Bible we should be experiencing in this place. And I know that we have an amazing faith in an amazing God, and we can see miracles, we can see signs and wonders following the preaching of his word. I've got no issue with that. But it says when you love one another, then people will know that you're my disciples, because it's counterculture. It's counterculture. It breaks into the culture of the world, because that is not the attitude of the world. And so we've got to demonstrate that in the way that we live together. We can't say that we're Christians and behave how we want. That's hypocrisy. We can't behave how we want and expect God to answer prayer, because usually we're asking for the wrong things. It's what I want, not what you want. And our relationship with God, and thank God for the Holy Spirit, that actually ministers to us. And if you love God and you're filled with the Spirit, then the things that I'm talking about now will almost be come naturally to us, because we are, our spirit is reborn. We are rebirthed. We have the heart of God living in us, and he begins to grow that as we walk with him day by day. I think in Galatians, there's a great warning. It says, "Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh?" And so the church at Galatia had this revelation about the love of Jesus Christ, and they'd started this journey, and then they'd fallen into doing it their way. Well, I think this is what we should do. It's actually some of the old Jewish traditions were creeping back into their worship. And Paul was saying, look, you started this faith journey. Why are you going back to that stuff again? Because you've been set free from all of that. And sometimes in our journey with God, because we've all been on this journey for varying lengths of time, we can come so far, and then we can begin to trust in ourselves. We can begin to put our own kind of thoughts into action about how it works. But that's not how the Spirit works. The Spirit works in our hearts. He reveals truth to us, and he tells us what's right and what's wrong. Don't fall on your own understanding. Don't do it, because it will lead you up the wrong path. Because it says in John 3, 6, that flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. So our own fleshly thoughts just bring a fleshly wisdom or a fleshly reality or a fleshly answer, but the Spirit of God in us brings a spiritual answer. It brings breakthrough, it brings overcoming, it brings freshness and newness, it brings all that God has got into our lives. So we've got to learn to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. It's so important that we understand the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives to bring revelation, to move us towards unity. See, when the Holy Spirit's living within us, it tells us that there is fruit that we can all see, the fruit of the Spirit. And when we are bearing the fruit of the Spirit, that actually is demonstrating all the things that we read in Romans. We begin to live like a Christian. We begin to have patience. We begin to love others. We begin to be kind and long-suffering. All those things become part of our nature because God is living in us. And as we live in the atmosphere of the fruit of the Spirit, it creates a unity that demonstrates who God is to our community, to the world. One of the roles of the church is to declare the manifold wisdom of God, not only to the people of the world, but to the spiritual forces as well. We declare the greatness of God in the way that we actually live together. We're a church that really believes in prayer. And it was great to hear what Linda said this morning, wasn't it? That even in the ordinary things of life, sometimes when we just can't see solutions, and we, in our fleshly understanding, we can't see a solution, and we can try and put things in place. But when we begin to include God in it, he just opens doors and just makes a way, and you kind of go, I don't know quite how we've got there, but God has done something amazing on this journey. And so you may be going through some of the simple things of life and not knowing what the answer is. Well, just ask God. That's what he's asking us to do. Ask him. Put our trust in him and not in our own understanding. But we very much believe in prayer. June was a real focus on prayer, and we don't ever want that focus to move. But I just want to say this morning that if we're going to pray like a Christian, we've got to behave like a Christian. We cannot expect to behave how we want and expect God to give us what we want. That just isn't in the Bible at all. And anybody that's been a parent will understand that kind of relationship that I'm talking about, because our kids can be wonderful, can't they? But they can also be quite difficult. And they can be very, very different when they want something and their behavior is really poor, and they go, can I have an ice cream now, Dad? And you kind of go, what? Where's that come from? You've just behaved like that and now you want that? No way. And sometimes we're like that with God. We behave how we want, get ourselves into a bit of bother, and we go, God, give me this. And he's going, where's that come from? When you start loving me and start being in unity with everybody else, when you start behaving like a Christian, then maybe the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the things that you're supposed to be asking for and not just the things that you want. I'm not saying that answer prayer depends on our behavior, because it doesn't. Faith kind of works outside of that. But when we're full of faith, we also behave in a way that displays that. It reflects our obedience to God. So the challenge, I feel, is that we are in unity here. I'm not saying this because I think we're not in unity. I love being here. I think we're a church that is in unity. But I just want to say that how important it really is. It's critical to our displaying the glory of God in this place. It's critical to the blessing of God being poured out and going out into our community and all the things that we're trying to do, the works that we're doing, the ministries that we're doing. It pours out of unity and it touches the lives of everybody that we come into contact with. But we've got to learn how to live together to maintain that unity. We've got to make every effort. We've got to work hard at it. When somebody says something or does something, you go, that's wrong. Okay? Then we have to learn how to handle that. And if you're strong, then you bear those that are weak. You put others first. And that goes against our flesh. And that's where the rub really comes. It's the battle, the flesh against the spirit very often. But I just think that as we understand unity, as we work at it, as we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to sort of speak to us on a daily basis and display the wisdom of God, the glory of God in our lives, then the impact, the blessing of God will just be huge. If we want to see answers to prayer, let's be in unity, let's love one another, let's love God. Let's do the things that the Bible tells us to do. And I just think that the blessings of God will be those things that will follow. We have a great opportunity every time we meet together to be in unity. And it was just great to worship this morning in unity. It was awesome. And there is a power in that that we can't have on our own. There's something about coming together as people, because it says in Ephesians that we add to each other. Where we join together, strength comes. We cause growth. We are working together in unity. And so it is important that we are in unity at all times. And if you've got something against a brother or something they've done is against you, sometimes we know that, we've fallen out, and sometimes people just get on your nerves. Don't they? They do, but that's your problem. All right. It's hard to deal with, but it is your problem. If somebody's getting on your nerves, what do? We love them. We prefer them. We talk to them. We encourage them. Don't come and tell me, will you, if somebody's getting on your nerves? Because they'll send you back. And if you've ever said, oh, somebody's doing that, they'll send you back. Sort it out. If it ever gets to that point, I will get involved, but really, we if we're loving one another, then those kind of things really we should take in our stride, shouldn't we? It should be easy to deal with. So there's a lot of I've given you a lot of information there, a lot of stuff to think about through the week. But I just want to encourage you in our unity that I love coming to church, and I've said this many times. I love coming here. I love being part of this church. I love what we're doing. I love everybody here, and it's amazing, but we don't want to lose it. We've got to work hard at it. We've got to realize that we are adding to the whole, and understanding our position in that is really, really important for us as we move on into our next stage of ministry. So thank you for listening to me this morning. The key is loving God first. That's the key. I think I said last week, if you're falling out with somebody, love God.